This episode of Wasteland may contain mature themes, profanity, and descriptions of sex, graphic violence, and criminal activity. Listener discretion is advised. Valley is a community of schools and scholars who oppose the mainstream of American education. The staff of 24 is drawn from many walks of life. A minority were professional teachers before joining the staff. The school maintains all standards at greater than association requirements, except in the area of teacher training. The school's fundamental policy is to recruit teachers who are competent scholars and competent human beings. Green Valley headmaster George von Hilsheimer to the DeLand Sun, January 1968. At the time of that article's printing, the Green Valley School for Troubled Children had been open in Orange City, less than an hour's drive from Daytona Beach, for approximately 4 years. And about a year prior to the article's appearance, headmaster von Hilsheimer had been charged with simple assault of a 14-year-old in his care, though he was exonerated. Reports of that alleged assault would be the first, but certainly not the last time, that the Green Valley School and the Reverend George von Hilsheimer would make the papers. Green Valley opened its doors in 1964, having been established by an organization called Humanitas, described in a 1964 DeLand Sun article as a brotherhood of service which was under the direct supervision of von Hilsheimer, himself a Baptist clergyman. The word humanitas comes from Latin, and it combines the Greek concepts of love for what makes one human, the importance of education, and conducting oneself in a decent, polite, and fulfilling way. Humanitas could be considered a general mission statement for Green Valley, educating the most challenging students to rise above their station with dignity, self-respect, and a love of learning. The basic system we use here has been in use for more than 100 years in parts of Europe and a lesser time in special American private schools. The public schools in Volusia County, in particular, and Florida in general, are 50 years behind the times, von Hilsheimer told the DeLand Sun in that 1968 article. Local high schools are so far behind that we don't bother to compare our test scores to theirs. We use the national average instead. In that same article, George von Hilsheimer is described as colorful, fast-talking, and articulate. At the time of Green Valley's opening, he was only 30 years old, having been educated in Volusia County himself, graduating from DeLand High School. As a high school student, von Hilsheimer spent his time between his studies and preaching in local Baptist churches. He went on to graduate from the University of Miami and underwent official theological training at the University of Chicago. As a young man, George von Hilsheimer was quite active in civic service. He was consultant to President John F. Kennedy's Committee for National Voluntary Service, a member of the Mobilization for Youth's Board of Directors, and executive director of both the Fund for Migrant Children and the Lincoln Park Child Care Center in Fort Pierce, Florida. And Green Valley was also not the first institution that von Hilsheimer founded. It was the week of July 4th, 1963, when Camp Summer Lane opened. It was located on the border of North and South Carolina in the town of Rosman in Transylvania County, nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's a beautiful area full of streams and waterfalls and a favorite of hikers. Camp Summer Lane, formerly Camp Skytop, was already a functioning facility that housed a number of cabins, two gymnasiums, and a large kitchen. Von Hilsheimer co-founded the school with a man named Paul Krasner. Krasner was an unlikely bedfellow for a straight-arrow Baptist like von Hilsheimer. He was an author, journalist, and the mind behind a subversive satirical magazine called The Realist. Krasner was a proponent of free thought and free speech, as well as a close friend and protege of the father of modern stand-up comedy, Lenny Bruce. Krasner himself performed stand-up and would go on to be a member of Ken Kesey's Merry Pranksters. They were a group of like-minded individuals who traveled on a bus named Further, with the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest author giving out free hits of acid and organizing parties. The two men met in 1962 when von Hilsheimer was briefly living in New York City. Krasner was interested in von Hilsheimer's work in Florida and at the national level on behalf of disadvantaged youth. Krasner admired von Hilsheimer's idealism and his willingness to put it into action. So, the subversive author and the hardworking reverend joined forces to make some changes in the arena of social justice. According to a 2008 article in the Asheville, North Carolina Mountain Express, Krasner detailed the variety of projects the two brought to fruition, including, quote, babysitting collectives and youth programs in the city, book drives for African-American college libraries in the South, a Hunger Hurts program to provide food for needy families, and plans to support migrant workers, among other endeavors. But Camp Summerlane was to be the two's biggest project yet. The camp's name had a special meaning. Summer came from the Summerhill School, an institution founded in England in 1921 by Scottish educator A.S. Neal. Lane came from a Connecticut teacher and psychoanalyst named Homer Lane, who also ran an experimental school in England in the 1910s, which was A.S. Neal's direct inspiration for Summerhill. Neal detailed his approach to education in his 1960 book, Summerhill, A Radical Approach to Child Rearing. In it, he states, "We set out to make a school in which we would allow children freedom to be themselves. In order to do this, we had to renounce all discipline, all direction, all suggestion, all moral training, all religious instruction. My view is that a child is innately wise and realistic. If left to himself without adult suggestion of any kind, he will develop as far as he is capable of developing." Von Hilsheimer and Krasner were taken with Neal's approach and decided to put this freedom into practice at Summerlane. As a promotional brochure for the camp stated, "All decisions affecting the community are made by the community. Each child, each adult has an equal voice. Summerlane is a working democracy. There is no censorship of any kind. There are no rules for purely private behavior." Aside from this, Summerlane would also be the first integrated camp in the area. Quite a radical proposition for a camp in the American South of the early 1960s. The backlash from the citizens of Rosman was immediate. Threats were issued, inflammatory literature was circulated, and the rumor mill shifted into high gear. The faculty of Camp Summerlane was scrutinized, starting with the camp's science instructor, Leo Koch. Koch had been a professor at the University of Illinois until he was fired for suggesting to his students that premarital sex could be beneficial to an adult relationship. A colorful metaphor used by von Hilsheimer in Krasner's Realist magazine was all the citizenry needed to paint him as an openly practicing homosexual, something which he was not and vehemently denied. Just the simple fact that Summerlane was publicized in The Realist worked against the facility. The magazine was regarded by the locals as pornographic, atheistic, and subversive. On July 10th, Rosman locals, mostly young men, stationed themselves at Camp Summerlane's entrance, flagging down cars and peering inside to allegedly determine if there were any black or otherwise non-white campers present. In fact, despite the camp advertising itself as an integrated facility, there were reportedly only two mixed-race children among the campers. On July 11th, a group of campers were out canoeing in the nearby French Broad River when some young local men began throwing stones at them. Later, when informed of the incident, von Hilsheimer grabbed a shotgun and proceeded to the camp's entrance where the culprits had amassed, jeering and smirking just across the street and off the property. Transylvania County deputies actually confiscated von Hilsheimer's gun and ordered him back to the camp for disturbing, quote, peaceful folks. Around 6 p.m. that night, during a nature presentation, carloads of armed locals joined the troublemakers at the camp's entrance. Without preamble, one of the camp's buildings was set on fire. Not only this, but a nearby lake was also set on fire, though it only burned for a short time. Von Hilsheimer and some of the other faculty drove the camp bus to the entrance where they tried to reason with the mob. They were met with overwhelming physical violence, and as they drove away, shots were fired at and through the bus, narrowly missing the staff members. The Rosman police were contacted but did not involve themselves, presumably taking the side of the local populace. Finally, at around 1 a.m., the highway patrol was reached and they arrived at Summer Lane to hold back the mob. Just after dawn, the decision was made to evacuate, and the highway patrol escorted the campers to safety. Camp Summer Lane was shut down. And in the local papers, so began the debate. Residents of Rosman claimed that integration wasn't their immediate concern. It was that Camp Summer Lane was a free love camp. Locals claimed to have seen nude and filthy students cavorting around the grounds. This type of openness didn't jibe with their deeply Baptist beliefs, and a decision was made to expel the interlopers from the area. No doubt the camp's brochures proclaiming no censorship of any kind didn't endear the place to the citizens of Rosman. Camp Summer Lane staff, Von Hilsheimer especially, as well as the campers, denied that any such free love conditions existed at the camp. They believed the attack was motivated by racism. Years later, when Von Hilsheimer wrote of the incident in an essay, he stated, "We were insanely idealistic, but given the time and place, no amount of idealism could have spared Camp Summer Lane its fate." A few weeks later, Camp Summer Lane reopened in Millicent, New York, with a staff of 12 volunteers serving 30 students. The facility would eventually move to Buckbrook Farm in upstate New York, but Von Hilsheimer would scale the camp back later that same year as he directed his energy into founding an entirely new enterprise based on his philosophies and beliefs. In late 1964, Von Hilsheimer opened Green Valley School in Orange County, Florida, an institution that would cater to troubled youth who still, against all odds, possessed the potential for success. And much like Camp Summer Lane, Green Valley was not without controversy. Charles Weatherford worked with George Von Hilsheimer during his time with the aforementioned Mobilization for Youth, a pilot project under the President's Committee on Juvenile Delinquency. In September of 1964, Weatherford would take on the role of headmaster at the new Green Valley School under Superintendent George Von Hilsheimer. On the 22nd of September, Weatherford addressed the Greater Orange City Chamber of Commerce at their monthly coffee club meeting and provided details of Green Valley's operations. Perhaps the newspaper ads proclaiming Green Valley to be a co-ed residential school for superior students and gifted underachievers did not provide enough detail for the community. According to a Daytona Beach Morning Journal article from the 22nd, Weatherford claimed that by following the Green Valley program, it was possible for a youngster to reach the doctorate level at the age of 16. This could be achieved, he said, through small class sizes and careful tutoring. "Our students will progress at their own speed under a student-teacher ratio of nearly 1:1, he said. The school had been established on the site of an old Episcopal monastery which had closed in 1957. All students would be residents of the facility, living together in communal fashion. All decisions and solutions to problems would be decided by the students themselves, though Weatherford assured the Orange City Chamber of Commerce that health and safety regulations were put in place and enforced by the faculty and staff. Green Valley was to be officially operational by October 1st of 1964, with 10 students and 4 faculty members slated to arrive on that day. At the time of its opening, the facility was booked for about 50 students, though there remained room for expansion. In that September article, Weatherford, a former New York City public school teacher, is quoted as saying, "The public school systems have many gaps. The bright, intelligent student becomes bored with schoolwork if forced to learn at a pace far below his capabilities. Then he becomes a behavior problem in and out of school." There doesn't appear to be any mention of Green Valley's first few years in the local papers of the day. But by November of 1966, 2 years after the school's opening, it seemed their student body was becoming more and more unmanageable. As previously stated, George Von Hilsheimer was charged with assault and battery that November on a 14-year-old student. Allegedly, after striking and kicking the emotionally disturbed youth, Von Hilsheimer told the student he would, quote, "knock his block off." The incident reportedly motivated the student to run away from the school. The boy's mother filed the complaint, and Von Hilsheimer was charged with simple assault and open profanity, though he was exonerated in a 5-hour trial the following February. In late April of 1967, 2 juvenile runaways from Green Valley were apprehended in Pearson, about half an hour north of the school. The 2 boys were originally from Miami and were caught riding stolen bikes by a Pearson police officer. In December of 1967, a rash of shoplifting occurred in DeLand, only about a 10-minute drive from Green Valley. Items were stolen from a local Winn-Dixie, a McCrory's, an A&P, and a Kirkland's supermarket. Six shoplifters were arrested, with at least two Green Valley students among the group. In February of 1968, three Green Valley students were apprehended almost 2.5 hours south in Fort Pierce, driving a stolen car. In August of 1968, four Green Valley students and one young man who claimed to be a teacher at the school were jailed for public intoxication in an Orange City restaurant. In September of 1968, a suit was brought against George von Hilsheimer and Green Valley School by a parent of a former student. The suit alleged that von Hilsheimer had filed a false arrest report against the student for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. The suit was dismissed shortly thereafter. In October of 1968, Alice James Walker, the mother of former Green Valley student Michael Henry Walker, filed suit against Green Valley for negligent supervision when her son committed suicide. The suit alleged that the school purchased a handgun from Michael Walker, known to be emotionally disturbed and developmentally challenged. Though this claim is unproven, Michael Walker did use a pistol to end his life while attending Green Valley. The suit also alleged that the purchase of the pistol, as well as ammunition, were charged to the youth's tuition account. In December of 1968, another suit was brought against von Hilsheimer in Green Valley by a former student. This one alleged that von Hilsheimer had touched the student in an offensive manner and cursed in her presence during her tenure at the school. Throughout 1969, the controversies continued to pile up until von Hilsheimer was called before the Senate Consumer Protection Committee on October 31st of that year to testify about matters regarding Green Valley. Present at that hearing were six witnesses, one former student, two parents of former students, several residents of Orange City, and a health department officer. Some of the allegations leveled at von Hilsheimer and the school were that girls were allowed to visit boys' rooms without adult supervision, that the superintendent had collectively and personally struck about 50 of the students in attendance since the school's opening, and that one student had been forced to dig a grave and sleep in it as a form of punishment. Von Hilsheimer was quoted during the hearing as saying that Green Valley had evolved into a school for nasty brats. It was also alleged that no classes were actually being held at Green Valley during the last months of 1969. It should be noted that, according to a December 3, 1969 article in the DeLand Sun, these details were presented by Senate Chairman Frederick Carl, who was reading them from a statement prepared by von Hilsheimer himself. After the hearing, Senator Carl implored the Volusia County State Attorney's Office to pursue an investigation of the controversial school. He was rebuffed. George von Hilsheimer spoke to the DeLand Sun on December 4th, calling the joint committee the Halloween Inquisition. Von Hilsheimer accused Senator Carl of desperately seeking headlines but failing to produce any tangible evidence of the allegations made against Green Valley, instead relying on hearsay provided by witnesses who, for the most part, had no direct contact with Green Valley. A DeLand Sun article from December 7th states that Carl turned over the hearing's Green Valley findings to then-Governor of Florida, Claude Kirk, urging careful examination. Carl stated to the Sun that the income from the school is substantial, the facilities and services are meager, the property is, for the most part, rented by the school, most staff members claim to be members of a religious organization and take only nominal compensation. Senator Carl further added that students were assigned to Green Valley by various government agencies, and some were paying as much as $40 a day for services that had nothing to do with their education. He said that the involvement of these agencies prompted the need for further scrutiny. In the absence of adoption orders or other jurisdiction practices, the children find themselves under the total domination of the staff and faculty 24 hours a day. Punishment is unusual and sometimes physical. Carl also stated that von Hilsheimer had an intemperate and contemptuous attitude. In January of 1970, the Sun reported that Green Valley would become an independent, private institution before 1974, and in doing so would increase the size of their facility, paid staff, student body, and add a special psychiatric hospital to the school. Von Hilsheimer was also very vocal about pursuing legal recourse for what he termed the gross violation of law and libelous statements made against the Brotherhood of Humanitas and Green Valley School. In January of 1970, Charles Weatherford was replaced as headmaster of Green Valley by Ronald Nowicki, a former employee of educational publishers Prentice Hall and Scholastic. Still, with all the house cleaning Green Valley did after the Joint Committee hearing, the school continued to find itself in the headlines. In March of 1971, three Green Valley students were arrested after breaking into an Orange City Minute Market and Wellmaker's Grocery. A few days later, two more students were arrested in Daytona driving a stolen truck. In October of 1971, Green Valley filed its own suit against the publisher of the Orlando newspapers, the Evening Star and the Orlando Sentinel. The suit claimed the school was unfairly maligned in a series of articles from 1969 to 1971. I was unable to obtain these articles, but the title of one was mentioned in the Daytona Morning Journal, School's Bra Panty Hijinks Aired, no doubt referring to the alleged unsupervised co-ed visits at the school. Judge Robert H. Wingfield dismissed the suit in February of 1972. In April of 1972, two Green Valley students T-boned another car in Daytona Beach, though no one was badly injured. However, it was on October 21st, 1972, that something was alleged to have happened that would eventually signal the end of the Green Valley School and George von Hilsheimer's dreams of experimental education. An affidavit was signed by one Marilee Zakharewski, alleging that her son, Peter Andrew Zakharewski, a student at Green Valley, was, quote, forcibly and secretly confined against his will by the handcuffing of his arms and legs to a metal porch railing. The accused? Green Valley headmaster Ronald Nowicki. Combined with the plethora of complaints from parents and former students, as well as the school's unsavory reputation, this was the charge that would bring it all crashing down. Though it took some time, early on the morning of February 10th, 1973, 50 state police troopers, Daytona Beach City police officers, and investigators from the state attorney's office descended on the Green Valley campus. Nowicki was arrested on charges of false imprisonment, though he was released shortly thereafter on a $5,000 bond. The authorities didn't just come for Nowicki. They had been collecting allegations of cruel and unusual punishment for months and executed a search warrant for the entire property. According to a Daytona Morning Journal article from the 12th of February, 1973, they found drugs, shackles, a bullwhip, and various shocking devices. And then there was, of course, the matter of Ross Michael Cochran. Mike had been set to testify during a series of hearings delving into the reported abuse and cruelty enacted on Green Valley's student body. Mike would, unfortunately, never make his court date. However, Peter Zakharewski, in the form of a damning written statement, did. This episode of Wasteland was researched, written, produced, recorded, edited, and in some areas, scored by me, Michael Paul Anthony. If you'd like to contact the show, the email address is wastelandpodfl@gmail.com. I want to thank you for listening, and if you like what you heard, please share it with a friend. Until next time.